Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if it is true that for us mountains suggest peace, rest, vacation, hiking, and recharging the batteries before going back to our work with the feeling of being renewed, refreshed, and ready to face life's challenges, it is also true that in the sacred scriptures, mountains are known to be places of prayers. In the life of Jesus Christ, after his day's hectic schedule, he used to go to the mountain in order to pray and to be in union with his Father. Moreover, with Moses, Elijah, and today Jesus, the mountain became a powerful symbol of encounter with the divine. So let us assume that in this second Sunday of Lent, as the three apostles, each of us is taken to go to the mountain for a spiritual experience, an encounter with our Lord, an encounter that strengthens and renews us for the mission God entrusted us. Indeed, every Sunday, we come up to the Eucharist mountain to pray, because prayer is for us the time to connect the gap between him and us and to align our thinking with God. You know, what the Transfiguration depicts is a glimpse of Christ's glory and a preview of his resurrection. By the same occasion, we are reminded that this glorious event of the resurrection has to be achieved through suffering and pain. And this truth applies to all of us. We have to assume that our Christian life integrates the saying like, no guts, no glory, no pain, no gain, no cross, no crown. Unfortunately, many times, we try to adjust, to tweak God's thinking to ours, as when Peter tried to change Jesus' mind about suffering and death, but he was told, get behind me, Satan. So even in this gospel passage, Peter has not yet understood. Him who wanted to stay on top of the mountain by building three tents. He did not know what he was saying, says the gospel. In this sense, Saint Augustine wrote in the sermon number 78 regarding this passage, he wrote an answer to Peter, and he said, Peter, I reserve this for you, but for after death, staying on the mountain after death. But now, he says to you, go down to toil on the earth, go down to serve on the earth, go down to be despised, crucified on earth. In Jesus, life comes down to be killed. The bread comes down to be hungry. The path comes down to get tired on the way. The source comes down to be thirsty. And you refuse to toil. Go down from the mountain. In addition, I think, brothers and sisters, if St. Luke mentions that Peter, James, and John were asleep while Jesus was transfigured, it is because he wants to call us to stay awake spiritually, to stay awake spiritually, in order to not miss God's glory and action. Upon awakening, they discovered Jesus in glory along with Moses and Elijah. How much do we miss of God's glory and action? Because we are asleep spiritually. There are many things that can keep our minds asleep to the things of God. Spiritual void, unexamined life, life of ease, prejudice, and even sorrow can be a block. So, when we come up to the mountain of our Eucharist, let us stay awake and talk to him, Jesus. Not only about our own problems, not only about the broken pieces of our lives, not only about the sad things and the things we are missing, but also, and firstly, talk about the beautiful things we have received from him, but took for granted. All the talents and abilities and the resources which are still unused. So, may the time we consecrate to the prayer be for each one like the moment we get stopping at the gasoline station in the past. When we stop to the gasoline station, when we have a long trip to do, we buy gasoline for the next trip. There was not at that time, there was not Google Map and the internet. And at that time, we can ask for directions and also stretch out our legs. Prayer also, brothers and sisters, gives us directions, orientation, and energy to go on. It is not a withdrawal from life, but a needed stop to continue with a renewed confidence, the strength in God, and a good opportunity to be transformed, to be transfigured. In page 102 to page 104 of Matthew Kelly's book entitled Rediscover Jesus, an Invitation, this book that accompanies us during this Lenten season, we can read, quote, "Do you want God to completely overhaul your life and totally transform you? The every reality is we like to distance ourselves from the inner work required to bring about such a transformation that we need. The long history of God's relationship with humanity has always displayed his preference for collaboration over intervention. God will not snap his fingers and bring transformation. He desires a dynamic collaboration with each of us. God wants us to do our part. So no, we don't necessarily want our lives transformed. Sure, we want some tweaking, but not transformation. This desire for tweaking is selective and selfish. while transformation is total and selfless. Avoiding transformation has a very real impact on our spirituality. Once we abandon the transformation, that is the Christian life, our focus falls on tweaking. Our spirituality becomes mediocre and very self-centered. Then we start praying for tweaking. Dear God, please tweak this, and please tweak that, and tweak my spouse, and tweak my spouse again, because it didn't take the first time, and tweak my kids, and tweak my boss, and tweak my colleagues at work, and tweak our pastor, and tweak the politicians. We pray for tweaking, and then we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayer. The reason is simple. God is not in the business of tweaking. He is in the business of transformation. The other sad, tragic, miserable truth is that most of us have never prayed a prayer of transformation, not even once in our lives. Most of us have never come before God and prayed, "Loving Father, here I am. I trust that you have an incredible plan for me. Transform me. Transform my life. Everything is on the table. Take what you want to take and give what you want to give. Transform me into the person you created me to be, so I can live the life you envisioned for me. I hold nothing back. I am 100% available. How can I help? Amen." If you want to see miracles, pray that prayer. If you want to see an experience in your own life, pray a wholehearted prayer of transformation. That's a prayer God will answer. God always answers a prayer of transformation. Never once in the history of the world has God not answered a sincere prayer of transformation. So we need to start praying prayers that God can easily answer. Prayers that God wants to answer. When we want what God wants, it becomes easy for Him to answer our prayers. But too often, we use prayer as a vain and futile attempt to impose our will upon God. Page 102 to 104 from Matthew Kelly, Rediscover Jesus. Jesus Christ, keep the desire of transformation and transfiguration alive in my heart. Amen.